Oh, man. Let's go and take the Word of God and go to the book of Matthew, chapter 25 here. Matthew 25. All right. I taught just a little bit out of this last Sunday night. I gave one point where I showed three reasons why many people fell in service. Why are there unfaithful servants? We pointed out that in the example that was in this unfaithful servant that we're going to look at, there was three things that the master pointed out about him: that he was fearful, that he was full of wickedness, and that he was full of laziness. So fear, wickedness, and laziness were three attributes that the unfaithful servant possessed. So we're going to look at some other facts about this. So in order to do that, let's read through it, and then we'll have an idea of the story that's there. I'm going to pull some points out of it. Didn't we have a great day this morning, though? Man, a great day, great day. Loved it. Had a great spirit. Over 200 in attendance this morning. We praise the Lord for that. And we just had a wonderful day. We had a fellow that got some information about salvation. He'll need to know a little bit more about it. But Brother Mike did a great job counseling with him. And so we'll be praying with him about that. Hopefully he'll come to more knowledge of it. But at this point, was not ready to actually pray. But I feel that the Lord was working this morning. And I felt a great spirit here. And just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. Just a great thing. Let's go ahead and get into this tonight, though, because all this talk about cheesecake, not cheesecake, but carrot cake. Although, we need to talk about cheesecake. Cheesecake is a wonderful topic. And listen, we don't want to leave the cheesecake out, amen? Carrot cake and cinnamon rolls. No doubt some of you are ready to get home and eat. And we only could wish. We only could wish. Oh, I wish. No, I do wish, man. But I don't know. Maybe you can run out of Bill Miller's and get you a piece of pie or something. I don't know. It will not do what this does for you, though, I can promise you that. It'll only end in disappointment. But anyway, we're going to get through this quickly. I want to give you a quick word from the Word, give you some things. And I know some of you have a long drive to church. I've always felt like the message ought to be at least as long as your drive to church. Now, y'all drive about, what, 40 minutes? About 35, 40 minutes, somewhere around there. And let's see, y'all drive about the same, because you're over in Cibolo as well. Who drives at least 30 minutes or more every service? We have several of you. My wife and kids and I do as well. We live in Floresville. But a good church is worth the drive. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And getting to hear a really sweet, handsome, exciting, evangelistic preacher, that's worth the drive too. Brother Albert. Oh, Brother Rick. Was that you, Brother Rick? I thought it was Brother Albert. I was just like, well, I just didn't think you would do that. I thought Brother Albert, being a truck driver, he was a little tougher here. But oh, you're like, when are we going to have one of those in? See what I have to put up with here. Oh, my goodness. Let's get into this. Matthew 25, if you will, join me in verse number 14. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. There we see that, you know, the stewards are just managers, but who owns the goods?
The master
does. Now, I'm not going to go this direction because some of you are looking at me like, oh no, he's going to go stewardship on us, man. He is going to go stewardship. But we know one of the first principles of stewardship is that God is owner of all. Remember what I said this morning? It all starts with God gave. It all starts with God gave. And a steward with a right heart understands the ownership of God, that he is just a manager of what God owns. Everything you have has just been given to you to be a steward of it or a manager of it. So we see here that this steward is going to be given things, but who owns the goods? They were his goods. They belong to the master here, the man who's the employer here. Now it says in verse 15, and unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2. Now, just for clarity's sake, especially for some of the young people in the room, talents in our realm talks about abilities. How many of you knew that? How many of you teenagers knew that talents did not, that it means abilities? How many of you have any talents? No talents over there to speak of. Well, the word talent in this case is not talking about abilities. Who knows what it is talking about? Can any of you young people tell me what it's talking about? It's talking about a denomination of money. So we see here talents or money. He gives one 5 talents, to another 2, and to another one. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. So he looks at these three servants. He gives them talents in what he really perceives to be their talent level. So he gives them money based on their abilities. So he figures this one is a little sharper than the other. I'll give him five. This one's a little sharper than the other. I'll give him three. That other one, man, I'm just going to give him one, see what he does with it. But he's not expecting a whole lot of potential here. He's looking him over, and he just doesn't feel this guy's got a whole lot going on. Well, we see that he gives them these talents, five, three, and one, and then he goes away on a journey. Then, verse 16, then he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents. So if he had five talents and he went and traded, which meant put the money into the market, and then it doubles it. Julian, I know you like business math. He had five. He made five more. How much talents does the man have? You need a blackboard to come up here and write this out. 10 talents. Son, you make me so proud. I was really sweating for a minute there. You're going to get it wrong, and your mother and I were going to be embarrassed. But you did good. You made us proud, son. He now has 10. So, man, he's doubled it. Now, verse 17. And likewise, he that had received two, he also gained other two. So now he has four. But he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Boy, the word reckoneth is just a powerful word, isn't it? Reckon. There's going to be a reckoning. You know, the Bible speaks of a day of reckoning. It's going to be a day where we have to give an account. He comes back and he reckons with them. He wants to give an accounting of what they've done with what he has given them. There's a day of reckoning. One day you and I, and there's times throughout life that we have days of reckoning, days that we have to give an account for what our responsibilities were. There is a reckoning, kind of like a past due bill that comes in the mail, and eventually there'll be a collection. It's a reckoning. Now notice this in verse 20. And so he that had received five talents came and brought other five talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me five talents. Behold, I have gained beside them five talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. So we see a very important verse there, that coveted phrase, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you ever pen underline that. Man, how many of you sincerely hope one day to hear the Lord look upon you and say, well done. Well done. Well done. The coveted phrase. Next Sunday night, I'm going to bring a message based on that. Not everybody is going to hear well done. Not everybody will, but I'll tell you, next Sunday night, if you come back, the people who will hear it. We're going to talk about that. I believe it'll be a powerful message for servants of God, because it is in our heart to hear the phrase, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And he points out, you've been faithful over a few things. It doesn't take a whole lot. It wasn't like he had this massive responsibility. He had a few things, but he did good in those few things, and he produced. Now we see verse 22. He also that had received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Now, something I just want to throw out at you, just an observation. We see two different men, one with five talents, who he turned into 10. One guy had two, and he turned them into four. Did you notice they both got the same exact compliment? The same exact praise, the same exact notice of God. Now, how many of you agree that 10 is more than 4? How many of you would rather have 10 cinnamon rolls versus 4? 10 is more than 4. 10 is better than 4. Yet the Lord of these servants was just as proud of the man who turned in 4 as he was the man who turned in 10. And I love that because God is showing us how he sees things. Not all of us have the same opportunity. Not every preacher is going to build the same size church, and I'm so glad for that. You know, us pastors can be really bad about comparing among ourselves to each other. This guy's got a bigger ministry, and this guy's got a bigger... And sometimes you can feel lost and little in it all. But you know what? Not everybody's been given the 5 talents. Not everybody's given the 2 talents. And yet we see that because of both of these men, one took 5 to 10 and one took 2 to 4, they both were noticed by the Lord. They were both praised equally and equally impressive. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like that 2-talented guy. And I've seen 5-talented guys. Man, you see these guys that can do it all. You know what I'm talking about, Brother David? These guys that can preach and sing and play all the instruments and they're handsome. I get so, why in the world? Why does so much talent go to one person? And you can just feel their charisma and their oratory skills, and they've just had these opportunities, and you look at them, and it makes sense. You can see in the gifts that God has given them why they have attained what they have attained. And sometimes you realize, I just don't have that. That's not me. I don't have those abilities. I was talking to the praise team. They were in here practicing before church. Miss Carol, I'm still hurting over this. And you laughed at me, which hurt it. I went in my office. I don't want to, you know, I did shed a tear, but I got my composure before I came back. But I said, you know, in 4.5 years, y'all have never asked me to sing one time with Power of Praise. Not one time. Not once have I ever been offered a chance to sing. And Mel and Lauren and Casey and even my wife started laughing. They said things. I said, if I could just stand there with the mic off. Just stand there with the mic off and just feel like I'm a part of it. And then they said, well, if we can leave the mic off, we might let you, you know. And it hurt. It hurt me. But anyway, man, you know what I'm thankful for? I don't have to live up to the 5-talented guy. I do have to live up to what God has given me. I do have to cook with the potatoes that have been supplied. Amen. And boy, that gives me great encouragement because, boy, I don't know, and you feel the same. You're all in different worlds and things that you look at it and see one guy that's just doing so much more. But not everybody's going to be given the same opportunity. Not everybody has got the same expectation. But if I can take my 2 talents that God has given me and do the best I can with it, I can hear well done just as much as the guy with 5 talents. And that encourages me. That encourages me. Amen. All right, that was free. It didn't cost you anything. Not even in my notes. But it always catches me when I read that. And it says here that he'll make you rule over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And then it says in verse 24, then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man. I pointed this out last Sunday night, but that is the view of God by the lost world. That's the view of Christianity by the lost world. They don't get involved in it because they think it's too hard. They think God is too hard. They think God's just some kind of mean. A lot of people feel that God's somebody you just can't please. I don't know. I'm seeing him very pleased with 2 guys. Or he's bragging like crazy on them. Guys, man, well done. Woo! But yet, this guy sees God as a hard man. He's a guy that you just can't make happy. No matter how righteous you try to live, God's never going to be happy with you. Oh, man, it couldn't be further from the truth. This man's thinking is off. And his thinking is going to lead him to failure. I hope that you don't perceive God as being bad. Sometimes life is bad. Sometimes things bad happen to you. And sometimes you try to walk on water and you sink. But I want you to never forget that God is good. And that God's nature is good. And that God is a God of praise and blessing. And that he wants to see you succeed. And don't let your fear of failing God keep you from trying to serve God. As this man did. His fear kept him from doing what he could with what he had. Now we see here, he says, I know you're a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And the Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. In other words, he's saying, hey, if you knew all this about me, you know, why in the world didn't you at least try? If you knew that I was going to require this of you, why did you go bury it? Why didn't you do what you understood here? So we see here that he calls him wicked and slothful. I covered that last Sunday night. We see in those 25 and 26, the 3 points I brought out last Sunday night, that fear, wickedness, and slothfulness keep a lot of people from being faithful servants. Now in verse 27, he tells him what he should have done. He says, thou oughtest therefore to put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming, I should have received mine own with usury. He's saying you should have put it to work and built upon it. It should have been with interest. It should have grown. Now verse 28, take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. And cast ye that unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Of course, we see that referenced. What is that referencing there? Where do we see that description applied to in other places in Scripture? What place? Weeping, gnashing of teeth. We see that as a reference to hell, a place of outer darkness, a place of weeping, a place where people gnash their teeth in pain. Well, I want to give you some things quickly about this, and I'm going to look at my clock up here. I try to usually be done about now, but I'm just getting started. But when my glasses are off, no, when my glasses are down, I can't read the clock. So let's leave the glasses down. Give me just a few minutes. I'm not going to give you this entire outline tonight. I'll continue it next week. My dad always said these kind of sermons are like a big stick of bologna. You can just cut them off wherever you want. But y'all don't even know what that means. Y'all, whoever went to the deli and got the big bologna sticks, you'd have them slice it. Man, I'm not a bologna fan, but that stuff's good. Man, man, man. Put some tomato and mayo. You put enough mayonnaise on anything, it tastes good. Big old beefsteak tomatoes. So let me give you some truths that we see in the story of the faithful servant. Truth number one, God has given to all men the ability to serve him. Write that down. God has given to all men and ladies the ability to serve him. Say that with me. God has given to all men and ladies the ability to serve him. God has given you talent. Every one of you. Now, you may not have 5. You may not have 3. You may be the one guy, the one talent guy. But here's the reality. All 3 of these servants were given the opportunity to do something that would impress the Lord of the servant. All 3 of them had opportunity, not equal opportunity. Some were given more, and more was expected. You've ever heard the phrase, to whom much is given, much will be required? Now, the point of that, it starts with given. God gives first, and then he requires. So it starts with giving, and then there ought to be a requirement that comes from that giving. But we see here that all of you have been given the ability to serve Jesus. Every one of you. There is no excuse for any of us. If you're not finding a way to serve God, it's simply because you're not looking for a way. God has given to all Christians a way to serve him in some form or fashion. I love to hear people share what I call unique opportunity service. Unique opportunity. Okay, let me say it this way. Unique service opportunities. That's the word I want to say. I can't talk. I've lost the ability to talk tonight. Oh, man. Anyway. It's all I can think about. It's there. It's stuck. I love it when I hear people who have found ways to serve God with their abilities. I mean, I've shared the story of the lady in Jacksonville, Florida, who One time they were the pastor was preaching and challenging the church because he wanted to start a new bus route. They had three or four routes already going. He wanted to start another one. And he was challenging the church, and suddenly a lady in a wheelchair rolled forward. Been in a wheelchair all of her life. She said, "God's called me to be a bus captain." Of course, the pastor didn't want to hurt her feelings. He didn't want to tell her it was impossible to be a bus captain from a wheelchair. Of course, she persisted. Long story short, she built one of the largest bus routes at the Trinity Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, a church that became a mega church over time with literally thousands of bus kids. She was one of their biggest producing bus captains. You say, how did she do it? She'd get up early on Sunday morning, and she'd get her wheelchair, and she'd drive down the, roll her chair down the neighborhood, and she'd sit out in front of the house, and she'd just yell, "Hey, bus is coming, get up." Kids would come to the door, and she'd roll down to the next house. But here's the reality. I love to hear somebody that just finds a way to serve God. I've seen people, listen, I remember growing up and a man named Ken Bowen. Who knows Ken Bowen? The radio, he was not radio. See, I can't talk tonight. The rodeo clown preacher. Does anybody know him at all? All right, he was a big deal. My dad had him in several times when I was a boy. We'd have a big church rodeo. We'd rent the rodeo grounds down in Hot Springs, and he would bring, he had a couple of trick ponies and horses. He would come, and he was a professional rodeo clown at one time. And then the Lord called him to preach, and he's thinking, how can I have a way to serve the Lord? And he ended up becoming this guy that went from church to church. He'd do tricks with his horses. He was the inspiration that led Kevin Walker into the ministry. We've had Kevin Walker here the last couple of years where they do the big cowboy carnival, and he has a little pony that he was inspired as a young boy when he got to see Ken Bowen. And here's Ken Bowen looking at his talents. He was a cowboy. He's thinking, how can I serve God with this talent? And I don't know how many hundreds and hundreds, possibly tens of thousands of people came to those mini rodeos that he put on and got saved. I think a man named Dean Blakeney, who was a karate expert. He took his karate and we had him and we had a guy named Mike Crane. Dad had Mike Crane in. He was in the Guinness Book of World Records. I have one of my swords in my office he gave me when I was a teenager. Mike Crane would come and he would bust concrete with his head and he did that human sandwich thing where they would lay a bed of nails. He'd lay on top of it. They'd put another bed of nails on top of him with a 200-pound block of ice, and then a guy would bust that with a sledgehammer. It was called the Human Sandwich Act, and he was on TV several times. That show, That's Incredible. He was on that back in the 70s, early 80s. An amazing guy. One time he came and he cut a potato off of my dad's neck blindfolded with a samurai sword. He cut Michael Jordan, cut his hip. Michael Jordan had to get, I think, 7 stitches in his hip when he was at the University of North Carolina. He was kind of well known for that when he cut Michael Jordan. But in any case, after he left, I decided I would try some of those martial arts things, and I almost broke my arm. But anyway, he found a way to serve God through a talent. He was good at martial arts. I mean, man, we can just go on and on. We had a fellow that was a motorcycle daredevil. He would jump vans and cars, and he founded a ministry. He'd come to your church, and he'd jump your church buses on a motorcycle. We had another guy that would come regularly, and his name was Paul Wren. Paul Wren's in the Guinness Book of World Records. He was the world's strongest man. We had him in regularly. He would take a 15-passenger van, and he'd let bus kids load it up. He'd load that thing up. Then he had a leather strap that he'd hook to the front bumper. He'd put it in his mouth, and he'd pull that van across the parking lot. He had a table that he would bring with him. He'd set it up. And he would say, "I want you to pick out the 12 biggest men in your church and have them come sit on that table." And then he got underneath that table and he stood up with it. All those men sitting on it. Then all of a sudden he went like this. He turned around and did a complete turn, set it back down. You know, it's funny. How many guys go to a gym every day that never thought I could use this to lead souls to Christ? But he took his talent. He found a way to serve God. I don't know what your talent is. I don't know what God gave you. But I do know this, God gave you something. Every one of these three men were given an ability to serve, to do something, an ability to have a gain if they wanted to. So we see number one, what was our first point? Somebody say it loud and proud. Wow, you've already forgotten. I was hoping y'all remember it because I couldn't read my writing. And if I put my glasses on, you know. Amen. God has given every man and every lady the ability to serve Him. You can do something. You can do it if you want to. Now, that leads me to a second point. I'm going to give you 3 points out of, I have 9 points here. You're going to get 3 tonight. Well, that's a look of relief. All of you are like, oh, look of relief. You ever been preaching? Some of you don't preach, but some of you that do. Have you ever been preaching and you realize you look up and you've got like 3 minutes left and you're literally only like 1/4 through your outline? But you work so hard on it and you know there's parts in it that you just, oh, it's so frustrating. And you have to leave it all on the table. But here's the good news. We're going to be right back here next Sunday night. I'm going to pick it up there, give it to you. Second point here, God expects you to use that ability. What was point one again? Brother Roger, you remember point one? See, this is why I keep running out of time. We're talking about cinnamon rolls. God has given the ability to every man and woman to serve Him. Point number two, God expects you to use that ability. Do you see that the Master, the Lord here, expected them to do something? I mean, when He said, you know, I was afraid and I went and digged it in the ground, He didn't say, oh, that's cool, man. Listen, I understand. No worries. No worries, man. No, he expected Him to do something. And it came with a lecture. Do you know that God expects you to do something for Him? God expects you, the servant of God, to use the abilities that He has given you for His glory and His purpose. Now, in the principles of stewardship, we know that 90% of our talent can be used for us. And you use your talents every week to provide, put a roof over your family's head, to put money in your wallet. That's called having a job. Your talent led you to the job that you have. Well, God expects you, though, to use those talents for Him, that ability for Him. Are you doing that? God gave you some kind of ability. God expects you to use that ability. Boy, it's sad when you see people that, you know, as a pastor, I'll see people that have so much ability. And I think to myself, man, if they would just let God have it, He could do so much. I've met people that I think, man, if I had their abilities, if I had their charisma, if I had their singing ability, if I had, you know, their talents. And you see them often not using any of that for God, using none of it. Did you know God expects you to use that ability? He gave it to you for you to glorify Him with it. He doesn't mind you using it some for yourself, but He expects you to use a portion of that for His glory. Now we see here the third final point I'm going to give you tonight. This is a big point, though. It may have 37 subpoints. Brother Roy, I don't know what's going to happen here, man. I'm going to do my best, though. All right, glasses back on. I said, number one, God has given to all men and women the ability to serve Him. Number two, God expects you to use that ability. Number three, God inspects what He expects. God inspects what He expects. Notice the Lord went away for a while, but He came back and checked up on him. Hey, guys, show me what you've done with all this. First guy, man, you gave me 5, now I got 10. Well done. Second guy, I had 2, but man, I got 4. And the other guy, well, I was afraid. I went and dug it in the earth and hid it. But He inspected all 3 of them with an expectation to have a gain. In other words, beloved, God's watching to see what you're doing, and He's checking up on it, and He's keeping an account. We're not under the radar. You may think that you're just kind of sliding under the radar, and God just didn't notice that you were there. You know, God's not looking down saying, who's that guy? You know, somebody said, has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurs to God? You're not sliding under the radar. You're not existing without His awareness of it. And God is watching you with the ability that He gave you, and He expects you to do something with it. But not only does He expect you to do something with it, He inspects what He expects. He's checking up on us. So listen to me. We can see in the story it is not to your advantage to deliver a bad report when you're inspected. God expects you to do something. Are you doing something? We see the unfaithful servant, 1 and 3. He didn't do anything. He didn't do anything. We'll pick it up here next Sunday night. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Oh, I love that story. Love it. So many great truths in it. Let me ask you this tonight. If you were to die today and stand before God, and God were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven? Are you 100% sure that the answer you would give him would be sufficient? Are you sure about it? If you say, preacher, I'm sure I know the answer to that and I'm confident in it, would you raise your hand? Would you just simply raise your hand? Oh, I see hands everywhere. I wonder tonight, is there anybody that could say, preacher, I couldn't honestly raise my hand. Couldn't honestly raise my hand, but I know that I want to know for sure. I want to know for sure when I stand before God that when he asks me, why should I let you into heaven? I want to know for sure that the answer I give him will be the right answer. Next Sunday night, Lord willing, we'll get into some people who stood before God. He asks them that question, and they give him a lot of answers, but none of them are accepted. They become rejected. Would you be accepted or rejected? Your answer. You say, preacher, I don't know, but I want to know. Would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down, and I will not embarrass you, but I will pray for you from where I stand. How many of you could say, preacher, tonight, although it was just 3 quick points, you gave me some things to think about. It's a motivation to be a servant of God. Would you just slip your hand up? Are you doing what God has given you the ability to do? Find something to do in your church. Find something to do. I love Jim Sterneman goes out and preaches. He was there today, in fact, preaching at the truck stop. It's not a glamorous thing. He's not preaching to hundreds or thousands of people. Sometimes there's 1 or 2 truckers in there. I love how he's using his ability to serve God. I love to see men like Brother Trinity, who's using his ability to haul things. And he's using it to haul scriptures and tracts all over America. Finding a way to use his talent. Are you finding a way to use your talent? Think about it. Dear Lord, we thank you tonight. For those that have gathered, in a moment, I'm going to ask them to stand. And Lord, I don't have any idea to know the burdens or the worries that are going on in this room. But Lord, I do know that it seems like there's never a shortage of things to be troublesome. Lord, I've been watching the news and thinking about Christians and fellow Americans over in Maui. Complete and utter devastation. Fire started by a volcanic spurt caused that fire and the county of Lahaina. I read today that over 80 people have perished, and that homes and even a well-known Baptist church on that island has been burned to the ground. Lord, be with those fellow Americans. Be with those fellow Christians. Lord, that church family and other church families that have lost their worship place, their home for their church family. Lord, I know the church is not a building, but the building is where we gather, and it does mean something to us. I pray that they'll be able to be covered by insurance and be able to come up with funds and be able to gather the support needed to rebuild. I pray that it won't be the end to any of those churches, but that they'll rebuild and continue to be a lighthouse on that island. Grieve the families, or comfort the families that are grieving there. Help them to rebuild that island. Lord, there's other things going on. Worries about our economy. Worries about we need rain so bad. And I pray for Texas, Lord. We need you to send some rain. Give us a relief from this exceeding heat. And I pray for the farmers and the ranchers and the people that depend on this rain. Lord, I pray you'll get them through all this. And I pray for firefighters and first responders that are having to go to forest fires and prairie fires and house fires and all the things I've heard of lately. I pray that you give us some refreshing rain. Lord, I pray for the man and lady in our church dealing with bills and worries. And I pray for the kids about ready to go back to school. Lord, that always comes with some excitement, but also with some anxiety. but help them to step up to it and collect the treasure that is there before them, wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Help them to do great this year, to learn. Now, Lord, hear the prayers that we coming to you individually from these people. Open your heart and your ears to them as they come and speak to you. We ask this in Jesus' name.